Welcome into episode 99, our Wayne Gretzky episode of Coffee and Show. Myself and Stewie here to talk a little bit about NHL free agency, as well as a very early on NHL 25 wish list. We're kind of into that season now, where I would say in about a month from now, we'll get our first little taste of NHL 25. It's usually with the cover or something like that. But it's usually around the middle of August now. So today we'll go over some very base level things, and make sure you leave your comment down below, things that you guys would like to see. We'll talk about that in a future episode as well. So, Stu, it's been a week. We showed up. We're on time. It's 8 a.m. my time, 7 a.m. your time. Look at us dads on a Saturday. The grass isn't even cut yet, and here we are. Talking shell.
Yeah, they didn't think that we could do it in the morning, but we're back in the morning, boys. No, so.
Dude, they're proud of us, man. I mean, there's been rumblings that, you know, these guys are actually, well, I am actually having a coffee because it is the crack acid dawn, but here we are. So let's start the last episode. It was nice to get back after a few months off, but it was the draft, the round one of the draft that just finished. But free agency has happened since then. So let's do a quick little take on free agency, maybe some of the bigger winners and losers. I did a tier list. I started something every morning now where I just get on. I can't play video games right now, man. We're in a bad spot. NHL is over. MLB's content structure got me. It's sucking the wind out of me a little bit. So I hop on for 2 hours and I talk about whatever my chat wants to talk about, and it's been great. So one of the topics was winners and losers of the draft and free agency, and we made a big tier list. And it was actually well-received on social media, which usually when you say and place a team in certain places, you get fan bases that lose their mind. So let's start with you. Who do you think one of the biggest winners is of free agency in the draft after the offseason's begun so far?
I feel like the chalky play would be saying Nashville.
Okay, but, yep.
But I'm like looking at that tier list you made, and as much as I hate to say it because I hate Chicago, like I actually think Chicago made a lot of good moves just because they made a lot of moves where it's not really going to do anything to them. It's kind of like what the Sharks did, where they got like some vets, they got some good players, but it's not anything where it's like the end of the world and it's going to hurt them for like when they start actually trying to, you know,
be good. Yeah.
Attend. Yeah. So. I'll say the Chicago and San Jose, but I guess two, both, because they did kind of the similar thing. But I think it's just, it makes it better for, and I wish more teams would do that, especially when more teams have money, because I don't think it's the worst thing in the world for like Celebrini and Bedard to have some players around them.
I think that's what happened. I had them listed in like the way better, and it's very easy for those teams to get way better in an offseason because like they're at the very bottom. They have the biggest room. I agree. I think Chicago might have taken themselves out of the bottom three. Maybe. Not a playoff team by any stretch, but maybe out of drafting the top three. I think San Jose is still the worst, which just shows how bad they were for at least one more season. But yeah, I think that the Bozak signing for Chicago was nice. Obviously a little bit too much money for the Leafs. And I think the Toffoli one, I got a lot of flack about that contract not being good. I mean, it was $6 million, and I can agree in the vacuum that contract wasn't great for 4 years. But you got to have somebody that can put the puck in the net, and in 4 years, that contract won't matter. Like, the money does not matter to the Sharks for the next 3 to 4 seasons.
You said Bozak. You mean Bertuzzi, right?
I meant Bertuzzi, yeah. Yeah. I was thinking, like, I don't know.
Champion, Tyler Bozak, baby, let's go. No, I'm just
kidding. Bozak.
I knew what you were talking about. I just needed some idiot in the comments to be like, he retired, man. No, yeah, Toffoli, I know his wife's from L.A.
Yeah.
I think she might have done something with the Dodgers even, or maybe. But
he's got his cups.
Surprised. Yeah, and yeah, he's got his cups, right? And he's got, and now he got paid. Babe. Yep. So yeah, and he gets loaded back in California. So
very interesting. We should get news very quickly. It was reported that Macklin's going to make his decision very, very soon. Are you surprised that there's even a question about him going back to school?
I guess maybe the main thing is maybe Greer, because he was a Boston guy. Maybe he's pushing him to, like, I mean, I would think he's,
I don't know. I think he's pushing him to sign him. Yeah, like, I don't know. It's very,
I don't really know who's pushing him to stay. It's all kind of weird to me, just because, like, you could play in the NHL. I get it. I mean, the main thing with those two teams is they might have gotten, like, a little bit better forwards. It's just, like, but both their defenses are still,
yeah,
like,
AHL level. That Walman trade, yo. That Walman trade from Detroit, still blows me away. And I got to give credit to Thrash, who is a big Red Wings fan. He came up with, like, a tinfoil hat scenario about the Wallman trade. I don't know if you saw it. So it was Jake Wallman, yeah, good contract, good player. Obviously, you know who he is. And a second-round pick for San Jose to take him. Nothing guaranteed back as future considerations. However, the big thing was, I'm going to pull up the exact tweet, because obviously something did make sense, because Yzerman, right before free agency, was just offloading stuff. And it didn't really make much sense as to what. But listen to this. I'm going to walk you through this, and I want you to tell me how maybe possible this actually is. All right, so the first thing that happened was Barkley Goodrow did not want to waive his no-trade clause to San Jose. That was, like, reported. And then they put him on waivers, and the Sharks claimed him. And I guess for the Sharks, it's a better player that was on their roster. Contract's terrible, but it's odd that they wouldn't just let him go through waivers and then force the Rangers to give a pick or something to take him, because they really helped out the Rangers in that sense by just taking his contract, right? So Goodrow would not waive his no-trade clause to San Jose. San Jose makes a deal with the Rangers to claim Goodrow off waivers. The Wings send Wallman and a second to San Jose as payment for taking Goodrow from the Rangers. The Wings and Rangers complete a trade where Detroit gets Trouba at salary retained and compensation, whether it be prospects or picks, for making the trade with San Jose. And I was like, that's so out there, but I don't see like another way around it, because what ended up happening was Trouba nixed his deal or his trade to go to Detroit. He didn't want to. I think his wife is from New York and works there, and he didn't want to move. So how out there do you think that is?
I don't think it's crazy. I mean, Trouba played with Michigan, so I think that's, and he's from that area, so I think that's what they were
hoping
he'd do. I mean, maybe he still does. I mean, some guys, as time goes on, I think there's a lot of trades that are still going to happen, some in big ones too. Like, I think Marner does get traded, even though everyone keeps,
really, I don't see it.
I still think he gets traded, and then I think Ehlers will get traded, and Natchez, or I mean, there's rumors about a Carolina-Winnipeg swap with Ehlers and Natchez, and then that Rutger McGroarty,
yeah. That's a big one.
Apparently, that might be, like, the move.
Do you think that that's a big shift in collegiate hockey, and do they need to address that as someone who played college hockey?
I don't know. It's...
It's becoming an issue. Like, obviously, it was very few and far between. Like, Fox is the famous one. But it's now becoming like they know that they have the opportunity to do so.
They have, like, leverage, right?
They're leaving a lot of money on the table. Like, $1 million at 19 years old is a ton of money.
And I don't know how much of it's because of, like, NIL with being in the mix now.
Yeah, that's true. Much. That's true.
Not saying that it's, like, anything comparable to, like, an NHL. I mean, maybe it is in some, but I have no clue. Honestly.
Yeah, I have,
like,
no idea with,
you know, I don't know with, like, hockey crazy places like North Dakota and stuff like that. Like, I don't know what kind of money they can scrounge up, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, we'll see, I guess. It's, you know, we have a guy here with the Blues, Jimmy Snuggerud, who plays for Minnesota.
He's got to be with the Blues next season, though, right?
Next year, he claims that, he keeps saying he's going to come back. He went to the development camp. I think I'd be a little bit more worried if he wasn't. Not that I'm, like, really worried, but I'm saying if I was a Blues person, if, like,
it goes with the Cutter Gauthier thing where
he
just
he's not showing up at all, or, you know, so I don't know. I mean, it's definitely interesting. I'm curious to see, like, what some of these big trades happen. Like, I think a few of the big insiders said kind of that it will kind of carry on into the summer a little bit. Some of these, you know, big moves, even though it kind of dies, that, like, everyone hits, like, the first few days of free agency, and then it kind of just completely dies. I was saying, I've never seen a more just top heavy, like, everybody signed the first day.
It's,
and I
huge,
know everyone,
man.
And everyone does that, like, talking period before they're not supposed to. But by, like, day two, there was, like, nothing on the list, because, like, I was, like, looking at, like, what the Blues were going to do, and they had, like, 16 million cap space, and I was like, okay, like, are they,
dude, some of those
sign?
Contracts were pretty crazy, given I know the cap went up a little bit and it's supposed,
that's,
to go more, but
Babushkin
almost got 4 million. Like,
yeah, and I couldn't figure out, like, maybe there's somebody, like, more nerdy than I am with, like, cap stuff, but
they're all having a, like, lot harder time now.
Yeah, without cap friendly. I couldn't figure out exactly, like, okay, you know, is 4 million nowadays, is that basically 2 million like 2 years ago?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I was like, Joel Edmondson got like 3.85, and I was like,
that was wild. That one was nuts.
And there was just a few, like David Perron, 2 years older, got the same amount of money he got 2 years ago. So I was just like, wait, what? Like, okay, so is it just because of the cap going up?
And even that's Chandler Stephenson getting almost 8 million.
Yeah, and that's what I was just wondering. Like, not saying that Chandler Stephenson's not a great player. But
he's old.
Like, Is that really like, you know, high fives, you know, low sixes a few years ago? I don't know. Maybe that is. I don't know. I just feel like the money, and then like in 2 years, we'll even be saying more crazy.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Everyone just had to keep going.
Drysdale's going to get $14 million probably.
Yeah. So it's, I don't know. It's interesting. It'll be interesting to see. Like I said, I can't see Vegas, Carolina, like some of those teams that like lost people standing pat. So
where do you think Marner could go?
I think he could go to Vegas. I talked to our buddy out there back before it all even happened, and I said if they lose Marchessault, is that Marner stuff true? And he goes, that's exactly what will happen. He goes, they'll go after him if
wait. Former Niagara Ice Dog?
Former Niagara
Ice Dog. Okay, I'm with you. I didn't know what you were talking about.
But he thought like that Marner was like an insurance policy for Marshall. Not that like Marshall.
Yeah, the same. Yeah, I got
more,
what you're saying.
It was more just like, you know, they want to keep Marshall because they know what he's about. But if not, they'll go. I don't know what in the world they would give up to get him. But it like I've always said this.
I don't
like,
think it'll be that much, man. I don't because they have all
think
the power.
Jay Theodore. Not to say that like he's bad. I just think whenever they got Hanifin, it kind of just. I mean, I've been saying for years. It never made sense to me how Theodore couldn't run that power play consistently. It's like Petros had to run it a few times. And then, like, at the end of this year, they had Hanifin running it. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, if I was thinking of like a prototypical power play defenseman. Not that he can't be like solid defensively at times, but Theodore would be the guy to do it. But for whatever reason, it's never been like the, you know, it's like, oh, it's Erik Karlsson. He's on the roster. Duh, he has to run it.
Yeah.
You know, or, oh, it's Brent Burns. He has to run, you know, or it's Letang, whatever. It's always just been kind of weird there. So I don't know. I'd look for them for Marner. Not saying Marner would only, you know, go there, but it's like, why would you not want to play there? And then I'm still curious to see kind of like what Carolina does. Like I said, they lost a lot.
Like their roster was kind of gutted. Like they need, like Natchez needs to have a return that is a forward. That's like your Ehlers swap. That would be, I think that would bail them out, to be honest.
Yeah.
With
and like Pesci, like
that's not a huge loss, but like that's a top four defenseman.
The Pesci thing I was kind of indifferent about because he had like a rough year last year.
He did.
Injuries. I just wonder how well he'll age, I guess. I don't know.
Defensemen are usually the worst curve in terms of aging.
Blast like, is he gonna be Trouba in a few years where they're all freaking out? You know what I mean? I don't know. I mean, I'm just spitballing, but yeah, like Carolina, I'm curious to see what they do. I feel like Rod doesn't like Natchez, so I don't know why you do it again. You know what I mean?
That makes sense, yeah.
And then I'm still curious what Detroit does. Like, I know.
Yeah, they can't be done.
They got Kane and they got Tarasenko, but this isn't like
NHL 17. Like, yeah, is that so?
Yeah. I was kind of like, I mean, don't get me wrong, like, Pat Kane is still a stud, but I was confused on Pat Kane's end, too. I was like, why?
He took a 1 year deal.
Yeah, I thought like Kane or, I don't know, I thought he might go to a better team.
Yeah, like, a cup.
You know,
a cup
I don't think Detroit's like winning the cup next year.
I don't think it's guaranteed they make the playoffs.
That's what I'm
New
saying,
Jersey
so.
Is a New Jersey. Like, if they do not make the playoffs this year, I thought they'd win the Eastern Conference last year. If they don't make the playoffs this year, after I firmly believe they had the best offseason because they needed a goaltender, got the second best goalie available. They got another really good top four defenseman, and then they got Anton Salyev, like who they could move or just like they have the best young decor easily, I think, in the league in 3 years, but. Like, and Sheldon Keefe's a good regular season coach, whether you want to say about his first round in the playoffs and whatnot. Like, there's no way they don't make. So, Washington, I think, falls out, but they made. It's funny about Washington. I think that Washington made moves to make them closer to the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference. This year was literally dragged by Charlie Lindgren. So, it was so far away that, like, this roster they have now, I could sort of see it happening, but I don't see them replicating what they did last year.
to translate it for the people that are right now screaming about talk about HUD, I would say it's like the equivalent of like buying in the beginning of the year a bunch of
Yep.
fantasy cards and hoping that you hit a home run at the end,
Yes,
because
yeah.
they kind of did a bunch of like, Dubois is risky, and it's like they're kind of playing with fire with age and all this stuff. And I kind of like their off season because it's kind of fun. Like it's doing the opposite of what
You
you're kind of
should
supposed
do,
to
yeah.
do. But when you have a stud like Ovi still, and I think he'll be even better this year. I know it's like he's
His
getting older.
start
I
was
just
so
think
bad.
last year he was like, just like, I'm gonna show up to camp and I'm gonna be like whatever. And I think he's gonna be kind of motivated this year to try to get the goals, obviously this year. And I think he'll be in better shape. And like I
Did you
heard
see
Oshie.
his picture of him at the beach a couple weeks ago? Did
No,
you?
but
Oh,
I'd
bro, it
have
was
to look
rough.
that up.
Dude, it was one of the funniest things I've seen on the internet. If you haven't seen it, go look it up,
But
chat.
what's it called? I heard Oshie might be done, so that's part of like the reason why their cap's like
The
way
cap is
over
way
there.
off. Yeah,
And
dude. That's a good
I don't
point.
know. There's some teams I'm still just kind of like, even the Blues. I still think there might be a move to be had there with like a trade. I
Are you not
Buffalo.
annoyed, dude, that Buffalo trade yesterday?
Yeah, and I think it's like I still think there's even some moves there for Buffalo because like what is Buffalo
I think
doing there?
they absolutely have to make the playoffs, and they're like I think as a fan base, it's been what, like 13 years? I
Yeah.
or 11, 11 or 13 years, I can't remember exactly, but Matt Savoy for Ryan McLeod is like one of the most, I feel sorry for your fan base. Not because I think Ryan McLeod helps them this year more. He's a 30-point player in his career. He's had 30 career, like that's his career high in points on Edmonton. And like Matthew Savoy was the eighth or ninth overall pick in the draft 2 years ago. Like, I get that maybe they don't need another small forward in Matt Savoy, Buffalo, but like that's pushing all your chips in. And I don't know if that was the right like the deal to get back. I don't know, man. And Edmonton's low key built a prospect pool. They traded up and got Sam O'Reilly in the first round, the draft, which is kind of surprising. And then they get Matt Savoy, and I think that they've just had such a good offseason. They get Arvidsson, who's just a mean dude. Like, and
I love
did you know
Arvidsson.
that he's only 31?
Yeah, he's had some injuries, and
Bro,
he
he's only 31. I thought he was 37 or 38 because I remember him because I believe the Sharks had a playoff series against Nashville during that time, and then they was on the Kings, and
Yeah.
he was just a pain in the playoffs to play against. All right. I apologize. 15 minutes of talking real hockey because we just enjoy it. Actually, I apologize to nobody. But let's talk about NHL 25 and what our very early. This is off the cuff, not really thought about. Of things that we would like to see in 25, and they could be anything. I would say try to keep it realistic. So really nothing, but no, like let's no order either. We'll do a more formal one as we get closer to like August, I think. But you go first. Give me something that you would need to see in NHL 25.
Yeah, I'll do some quick hitters. Like I've obviously already
Go
talked
one at a
about.
time. Go one at a time. We'll try to talk about.
Okay, yeah, I've already talked about it in the past because now, especially out without GWC, I'd love to see a leaderboard of some sort. I
How,
just think
what would the
that
best leaderboard look like?
I don't know. I don't know if we should go with the online seasons or if we should just do a cumulative one. Maybe a cumulative one, honestly. I don't know. I just think something to where people can see their progress in their games, like in Rivals, doesn't feel like you're just doing a chore still. I don't want to play Rivals and just see the bar go up and then not know who I even played against last game. Like I said, I've talked about that in the past. I know it's not like a humongous feature. I think the biggest, I don't know. I think it's just something that it just lacks. Just like I don't know how big of a priority it is for them
In
this year.
sports, dude, in sports, there's a leaderboard that's all season. And we
Yeah.
should be able to see in an entire year. Like, Versus has it. Like, I agree. Like, in Rivals, it should be a cumulative leaderboard, and you can see your progress, where you're at. I think that if you are a top 100 player, you should get an icon or something. Like, not a player, like something on your screen that indicates you are or have made it to top 100. Like, there should be something, like, whether it's a jersey or something on your rink, like, there should be
Yeah.
something when you queue up and you've got a top 100 player in Rivals that you know. And that's something that would help the appetite of the most competitive players in the world without the biggest tournament. And we talked about this a ton, that it definitely propped up competitive NHL, where what you were play the mode you were playing the game competitively didn't really matter. It was outside of the game, and that's got to stop. So
yeah, a lot of it's just cosmetics.
Recognition. Like, just recognition. Yeah. That's the best way to say it.
I'm not asking to, you know, reinvent the wheel. You've already had it in the game before, so I'm not sure, you know, coding-wise or what, you know, or just taking leaderboards from another area and just using, slapping it in the same thing. Like, I don't even, just even for, as a starter, you know? So that would be, like, my, I don't know what I'm going to call it, like, maybe, like, new tab. My new hut mode that I would like to see, or hut thing I'd like to see possibly is, and we've talked about this before, and I don't, there's another thing that I think is possible, and I don't really, I don't know, like, if they're super hard, strict deadlines that they have to have in place for content, but I think starting the year off with an evolution card or a fantasy card or a Movember, whatever card you want to call it, something that goes up, I think instead of doing pre-order stuff where you're doing, you know, here's Dave Anderchuk with a new card art, or here's Phil Housley, and this is the card you get for your pre-order. It's like, okay, like, that's fine. It's a free card. I get it. I can't complain about free stuff, but it's just kind of rinse and repeat. So let's do it where every team has a rep. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Anaheim's is, let's do Zegras. I don't know. Do something fun.
Leo Carlson.
Leo Carlson, anybody, like, whatever. You know, do something fun for each team, and then you get to pick as, like, you know, and I might not even pick a Blues player, because if I was being, like, sweaty about it, and I'm like, okay, well, I think this guy's really going to hit 99, but, you know, but the Blues only have, I don't know who it would be, you know, like, let's just say Brandon Saad, I don't know, you know, so you could pick either your favorite team, or you could pick, you know, somebody
the card
really
you think
that
is going to do well. I agree. I think the franchise, I think that the fantasy event, for sure, I think you, every team should get a rep that you should be able to pick. I agree with that, because like, we got Hurdle this year as a Sharks fan, which is great, because I think it was nice because they did it on a team that is not not doing well. So it gave me a reason to watch more than I already did. But I think that every team should have access to that for sure. So I definitely agree with you on that. We'll talk about leaderboards real quick, because it kind of coincides with what something I would love to see. No more old gen. It's happening in...
you don't have that confirmed yet either, do we?
No, there isn't. And it's funny, because I remember, like, 2 years ago, I thought there was, like, rumors. Not from EA, journalist, an outlet. I don't remember what one. But then what was concerning was... So NCAA is next-gen only, as it should.
Yeah.
NCAA, side note, is one of the most important sports games of our generation, because it is the first sports game that has the powerhouse of EA behind it and the money truck, and it has multiple years of development in place. There hasn't been a sports game, because, like, PGA, when EA released a PGA game, it didn't come with it, because 2K has the rights to a lot of the players, right? This is, like, they did it the way they wanted to in terms of how the coding works and all of that. There's no... We only have 12 weeks, and we have to work on top of whatever was developed in the past, which is what a lot of EA games struggle with, like yearly releases. So, very important game, but they're only on next-gen, as they should be. NHL, unless you can make... The player base is too small. It's just too small, and they did a great job of making the marketplace combined this year, which was needed. But if you add in old-gen players and force them to upgrade their consoles, or a lot of players play old-gen because it's easier, which is a joke, too. But like that would at least force us all in the same spot and help out a little bit with the population issue. So the leaderboard thing, I would love to see it cross console, no old-gen, and I think that would go a long way. You could do one all-time for like weekly and all-time for Hut Champs.
Yep.
You could do one for rivals that is, you know, always moving. That would be huge as well. The fantasy event, I agree. I think the fantasy event should be the very first event of the season.
Even if the game comes out later than the season starts.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's got to be. The problem is it's so expensive, though.
It gives you the, you have like a leg up, like the Matt Duchene thing almost. You know what I mean? It's like you kind of knew Matt Duchene.
Yeah.
Because it came out like after the game, or the game came out after he had already kind of scored a little bit. So
Tara Byland had that this year.
Because they played overseas against you guys, right?
Yeah.
The Sharks?
Oh, that was 2 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, so, but you know what I mean? Like, I think it'd just be, that would be like my hut, I think, thing. And I don't know.
I think that's something that is drastically needed is a new mode. I think all sports games need this. But Ultimate Team and Hut has been Rivals Champs, Squad Battles Repeat for 7 years now. It's legitimately unacceptable as a consumer to accept that we are going to play. Essentially, the game isn't the same because gameplay changes a little bit every year, and they do a few different things in terms of how content works. But at the end of the day, if you're loading in and playing Rivals and Squad Battles and Champs, like, we need something new. And everyone says Draft Champs because BR is the most popular mode in MLB. As someone who is not a great player in MLB, I get the Hall of Fame, get the 800. You get the World Series, so that would be Division One. To put that in perspective, Hall of Fame would be Division Two. I don't play a lot of BR because that's where everyone good goes once they've done their Rivals or Ranked seasons. I think the casual player isn't going to love Draft Champs nearly as much as the vocal part of the player base does, because Draft Champs works like you draft a team and then you go on a run. And right. I don't know if it, I think that maybe coming up with something a little bit more with a little bit more ingenuity and not just, you know, what Draft Champs and BR is, I don't know how that would look. I haven't really put enough thought into it, but just a mode. I think a Draft Champs mode works well in NHL because everything's untradeable and you get the tryout cards. That's where I think that it is needed. Where you can actually use these players on your team, and they're kind of restricted. So what Draft Champs would allow the player base to do is you start in January, you don't have to worry, and you're a decent player. Let's say you're a Division III, right? You don't got to sit there for the next 3 months or spend money. You could because you don't have a team, you could just play Draft Champs and earn rewards, and everyone is on the same playing field, right?
Right.
So I think that the big benefit that NHL has over MLB, which is they do not have very many, is that NHL has hut champs. The thing that is drastically needed in MLB is a weekend league for competitive play. It does not exist, so everyone goes to BR. So maybe that would alleviate a little bit of the hyper-competitiveness in draft champs in NHL, because there is a hut champs mode. But they definitely need something where it is not what we are normally playing, because that has run its course and it's just not engaging. It's terrible. So before I forget, I wanted to I already forgot. Okay, what's your next one? Oh, it sucks. I had a good one.
Goalies for gameplay wise. Okay.
What do you
I know
see?
We tried to change something different with the goalies. I mean, if you just want to keep it simple, just go back to 22's goalies. Honestly.
Yeah.
I know the exhaust system is something that I get the concept of it. I get the idea behind it. I just think there's too many fluky.
The fact scenario. That you can't score a one-timer is my biggest complaint.
Yeah. It's
there to stop the one-timer, because they'll do the desperation save into the one-timer.
Yeah, it's just there's too many goofy things where you see too many. Maybe they do want it. Maybe they want like clips out there where people are posting funny clips of goalies flopping around. I don't know. I mean, I just feel like it just turned into like a meme fest this year with watching videos of people's goalies flopping all around and falling all over the place, doing somersaults. It's just,
you know what's funny? I think that I've seen less clips though, to hammer home how bad NHL 23's goaltending was, because that wasn't finished when they released it and they didn't upgrade.
Right.
We'll look back on NHL 23. I still think that NHL 23 is the worst video game year over year from NHL since, like, 18 was really bad. Since, like, 15. But, yeah, like, that goaltending for sure is always going to be an issue. I would love it where you could switch to a goaltender and it'd be more rewarding. I think that something that has not been done, the only time I can remember being done competitively is Nippon, and he did it too much to a fault. Because I remember in like an NHL 20, I remember he eliminated HK in a Caps tournament. And this is like, what, it might have been 19, because it was like the first season of like events being big. And he would manual goalie switch and stop every glitch goal he could. But it gets too much because, you know, but I would kind of like to see that if you can manually control your goaltender to be a little bit better than what it is in its current state. Oh man, I had such a good one for, we were talking about Draft Champs and how that would work. There's no competitive league in MLB. I lost it. Okay. The next one I want to talk about is content structure. I am sick of them messing around with events. I think they've, again, for the last 7 years, it's been the same. You turn cards in, you get collectibles. the collectibles turn into a more powerful card, and then you rotate in. Then they added in, you can trade in different overalls of cards, mattered more. It used to be just gold cards. So like an 86 in October or in June meant nothing. It's the same as an 80. And they've gone to address that. Recently, I know you haven't been playing, but the latest event was you trade in like 85 overalls, like seven of them, and you get an 88 from that event, and then you need an 88, two 88s from that event to get a 90, and it's like, it's almost like team builders, and it's just different, but they've eliminated the value of like higher overall cards because you can't make collectibles, you can't get more collectibles for however, and it's very confusing. I wanted to do a video where I got a buddy of mine who plays video games, and I'm just like, make a Master Set player item, and have all of the things available to do it and see how long it would take someone who has never played HUT to make a Master Set player item. That is actually an idea for a video that I might have to follow through on. But they need a content structure fix for that.
It's almost like sports games in general right now. Just they're trying to all figure out the perfect recipe for content. Or, yeah. You know what I mean?
There needs MLB to be a change. It's been so long, right? But the formula works, like, obviously.
MLB's like trying, obviously, clearly they've
last
tried,
2 years, man. I give them credit for shooting their shot.
I think they're like kind of on the right path, but then I also, because there is something to that.
I think the format, I do think that format is the future of content. I just think they're not doing it correctly.
Is it too long, maybe, that they're doing
it? It's the exhausting. So sports games, Ultimate Team games, in my opinion, have been created and engineered to rely on FOMO and the player grinding excessive amounts of time, and those players are exhausted. Like, I, as someone who makes content for MLB, it's been much more difficult because you would think that, okay, I don't have to play during the summer. You come back in September at season three, everything goes back to high 80 overall diamonds, and you haven't missed anything, really. Like, yes, there's a few advantages because there's the wild cards and stuff, but you could come back and start in September and you are in a great spot. You're literally right with everyone else, which is awesome for the longevity of a sports game. Because as the carrot chase goes along, if you were to start playing NHL right now, they've done a pretty good job of giving us cards, but there's no choices. It's like whoever the free 95 is, that player has to be on your team. Whereas MLB is like, we're resetting the game in 3 month sections. But the problem is, as you're going along, right after you've been at 99, you go back to 88s. No one's like, dude, I want to grind for this 89 overall reliever. Like, it's just like, I just did all that, now I got to do it again. And you know that 99s are coming. There's a way to do it. I don't know it, but it is definitely interesting to see. What I would love to see in NHL is not so drastic. I would just love to see them reward card collecting. I think the biggest issue with HUT in terms of content is that they do not, they treat cards as currency and not a collector item. So everyone collects hockey cards, or anyone that has, you know, to have them, you know, but you pull an 85 overall team of the week card, you don't care, you trade the 85 in, it's a number, not the card, you don't care about the card. So I would love to see collections for every team available. Like, I've talked about this a number of times, I'd love to see OHL collections. You collect all the OHL players for a certain team and you get a special version, like a Sarnia Sting Steven Stamkos, that's like at launch, let's say McDavid is 87 overall and he's the highest, and the first events are 86 overall, then let's make them 85s, if, you know, whatever. But I would love to see that. I think that needs to change from what it is. I hate that we lose the cards, you know, but that's kind of EA's method of how you get money, like how they make their money. That's the risk involved. When you drastically change the economy and how you collect cards and how they work, you're dramatically impacting from a business standpoint. So you have to understand the risk. I don't agree. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't care if EA loses money or doesn't make as much money. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, though, from a business standpoint, they go in there and they're like, okay, how do we change this up? We can't drastically. That's what's so surprising with MLB is, like, they so insanely change their content structure that they risk losing a lot of money. And I'm sure that last year they lost money or made less than prior years. So I would love to see collecting just become a thing. I hate losing MSPs and having to trade them in. The icons too, there's only 40 of them. Like, it's just content this year was just bad. I hate just saying vague statements like that without giving like examples, but there's only 40 icons. We used to have like 70. And, you know, there's been so many repeat players in every event. It's like, I would just do 6 months. The cycle is 6 months. Just go the first 6 months and plan every event now. Start planning it now, as you know. And just look at it and be like, hey, would this work? So, yeah, new content structure would be pretty huge. So give me something else.
I guess the other thing, it would be something to do with, they will never do it. It's just an EA thing. I was just to say, just in general, like making cards, like it's another hot thing, I guess, for me would be, I just hate the whole trading in setup, I guess, if that makes
sense. Yeah, that content structure is awful because you're trading them in. They're an economy piece.
It's just like collectibles and it's just, there's so much, I do so much crap on the menu. Like, I'm making up an example. How many times, like, I'll get off work and I'm like, okay, like, I'm going to, like, waste this hour or something before I go to dinner just to, like, finish making a card so I can play, like, later tonight before I, like, waste that time to play back when I was, like, playing HUT.
Yeah.
You know, or like, you know, HUT champs and stuff, and I was trying to get my stuff done and, like, use my time wisely. It's like, I can't just, like, get on and, like, play, but also, it's kind of like an MLB. I do like the fact that I can, like, stack my, like, lineup full of, and I know you can't
cards that work towards objectives, yeah.
Right, like in hitting like stats, not hitting like games played or goals. It's almost just like you don't need like a 300 goals with like this kind of card. You know what I mean? It's more, I don't know. It just seems so like grindy, I guess, if that makes sense. Where it's like an MLB, I feel like I can do like put a few guys here, put a few guys there, and play online and still be fine and like kind of kill two birds with one stone. I just feel like there's not that much of that in NHL. I feel like it's kind of like you got to stack your lineup full of like 75 overall. Like, I'm making up something like all-star cards or something. And it just feels so grindy where it's like I'm just sitting there like watching a sporting event while I stand behind the net or wherever it is. Like
sit behind the net and squad battles.
Like you, and it's like, that's dumb. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like that.
I remembered what I forgot earlier, so thank you. There needs to be a more concerted effort to allow us to get whatever the new content they release is in the way that we play the game. So
yeah.
I've said this over the last few events, is the Objectives 2.0 thing was nice because it allowed to track we used to never be able to like track goals with certain cards or stick checks with certain cards. It used to be just games played. That was the only way to do it. So that was an improvement. But the issue is that with the amount that they require us to do, you can only realistically do it in squad battles. Like, you cannot score 50 goals with Ryan Suter online. Like, it right. will not, you could, but that might take you, if you're a good player, that's the thing. If you're a good player, then good luck. Because you're averaging like less than 5 goals a game. Because
you have to like spam D to D's.
Exactly.
And hope they go in.
And to be honest, I would love to get to a point where if I do score with that player, it's worth 4, or there's a multiplier based on what division you're in, or if it's HUT champs, or like one goal is not the same as, or it's not equal. One mode is not equal. So offline players that enjoy playing squad battles, they can load up their team and play it, and that's fine. And I saw a lot of comments that even players that play offline don't like doing it because they still have to put such a focus on. They can't just play the game they normally would either. You're scoring the same goal over and over and over again with a player to get an objective done. That's not fun. That's chores. That's going to work. That is doing a job. And yeah. I'm not, the one thing is that I think a lot of the player base wants is just free stuff. And I'm not saying that because I think that ruins the game. I've used this example a lot, that if you just got everything for free and didn't really have to play a ton, it's like when you were a kid and you did franchise mode and you put it on rookie and accept all trades and you played 5 hours of setting up your team and then you went 82-0 in a regular season and then it was boring. Because as humans, you need a little challenge. You need something. This isn't it. This is legit monotonous grinding. It can't be for free, but if there's multiplier based on the mode you're playing, that fixes everything. Right. And if objectives worked like in an XP path, what I mean by an XP path is imagine a new event comes out and you've got a 2-week event path, okay? And you have to hit, let's say, I don't know what they would use, whether it be points or forget about the actual like experience. Let's say it's called experience. And forget about scoring certain goals with players. But if you played online rivals in your Division One and you played a bunch of games, you got XP based on that. And it was more than playing rivals in Division Five, or it was more than playing rookie squad battles. So that you are earning towards the same stuff in the way that you enjoy playing the game. That needs to change in NHL, and that's probably a multi-year thing. But there is far too little of that in NHL the last few years, where you cannot play the game that you the way you want with the cards you want and take part in the content that has come out. That's for sure something that's been an issue.
I mean, there's just like, I don't know. I mean, trust me, I could come up with like ticky-tack things. Like, there's a million little things I'd love to see that I don't think are huge, but it's just like some of this stuff. It's just like almost like what you say as a streamer, like quality of life type of things, I guess.
New menus. Before yeah. I forget, new menus. I posted this in the Game Changer chat as an example. So I like to be transparent about this stuff. I won't say the reception or anything like that, but I was frustrated when I was doing an MLB video. Mm-hmm. And then I immediately went and worked on an NHL video. And I had the objective screen up, but I still had a video from the MLB video that was like a program. And I was like, a 10-year-old could sit down in MLB, click on a program, and at the top you see the card and the path in which you are working towards. And yes. Then down below, you can see how to earn those things. Very succinct. The objective menu is just word vomit. Like, if you're watching this while playing squad battles or doing something, guys, I want you to go to the objective menu and just pretend that you don't know anything about HUT and just look at it. It is just words. There's no graphics. Even the event menus, like where the sets are, like there's no pictures of the cards. You have to look, and sometimes the background is brutal and you're trying to read the, and it's awful. Yeah. You have no idea. It's like, oh, this is a choice pack? Like,
Yeah, and speaking of objectives, make sure next year's game, they count.
Oh, yeah, they got to resolve that. That's more of a, that's a glitchy issue. That needs to, for sure.
That's just like something that made me think of that, because it's like objectives.
I would love it if, so the free agency event's happening right now, and you can, there's like a bunch of packs you can earn, and 88 overall cards. Just have pictures of them along a line, and it's like, oh, I'm working towards this, and then have, like, it's, We need more images, because I try to think as the longer I get into my career, the more and more I try to help the casual player, even the newer player. And I'm just like, without myself or Thrash or Henrique or content creators or Reddit, if a new player comes down and tries to figure out like how to make these cards, like I don't know how you do it and not get frustrated. It's absurd. So that would be something in the new menus, just way more user friendly with a lot more images, and less word vomit. So that would be big. Stat tracking for individual cards that lead to upgrades. Get rid of the collectibles. Like MLB introduced a parallel system in MLB 21. One of the best things to ever happen in any Ultimate Team game. For anyone that doesn't know, you earn experience by playing with the card in any mode, and as you go further, it will upgrade +1 in all attributes up to a total of 5. And it takes a long time. Like, it is a long grind to get to +5 overall. But if you enjoy a card and you could get it up that high, I'm not even gonna be greedy and say that add the parallel system. So like base Connor McDavid you could get at 87 overall and get him up to a 92. Because I don't know if that would be good because of how the builds work in NHL. But a master set player event. Earn it in live moments, the very lowest version, because it's like an 81 overall card at launch, whatever the headliner's one was. And then it's like, use that card in-game. If you do it in online, the multiplier is higher. His experience, you earn the experience faster, and we don't have to trade in all of our stuff to upgrade it. You probably could give them the option. Like, give them the option to. But by playing with the card, you upgrade it. And that would, like, if the goal of NHL is to keep us engaged enough and have FOMO and just keep us in the game more, which is what it does because of the weekly reward cycle and all of that, that doesn't take away from that, because you're like, I want this Adam Fox card to get up to max as quick as possible. I'm going to grind this weekend with Adam Fox, and right. I'm going to put him on my power play one, and I'm going to hammer home point shots. Like, and because you don't just need goals, that isn't just the objective. You just need, like, shots would give you XP. And, like, so that's something that that definitely needs to be addressed. Trying to think of a new Rivals format. Like, keep Rivals the same if you want, but the reward structure. Stop with the percentage base of the player base. Like, if you get to, let's say, I've said this quite a few times. I think that it forces us to play too many games in a week, which might be counterintuitive, and I don't think they'll ever change that. 50 games in a week. Guys, if you can play Max Rivals and Hut Champs in 1 week, I urge you to start streaming. Like, I'm not even over-exaggerating. Like, I've said this a number of times. One of the things that I find, you know, not sad, but if you have the amount of time to put in more than a content creator that makes a living playing the game, like, there is an audience out there that would watch you do that. They would listen to you because you get to play the game a ton. It's just an exceptional amount of time. Even as a college kid. Like, that's 70 games in a week. Let's say... you're amazing at the game, or you're not, and you quit out. Let's say, on average, a game is 10 minutes long. Like, so that's, you know, like, that's 700 minutes. Divide that by 60. Whoa, that's times. Like, that's 12 hours in-game, you know? Like, not including team building, going to work, like 12 hours in a week on one game is exceptional. Just start streaming. Start doing that. Make TikToks. Like, do something, because you've got enough time to do that. Like, there's an audience out there that'll listen to you. But if they made it where Rivals is 2 weeks long, to line up with the event that is happening, and what you would then allow you to do is play your 50 games, but every game matters more because it's not based on it's not going to be based on the percentage of the player base. It's like, get to 30 wins. That gets you ultimate. Or maybe it's 35 wins, right? That gets you to ultimate. Again, I think that there's a big issue with Rivals because of no leaderboards and other things, where you're just playing because you got to play. The game doesn't matter. You know, right. Especially once you hit your plateau. Like, if you get to Division 3 and the game mode is designed, it's skill-based matchmaking. You were designed to stay 500. If you've been playing the game all year round, you've gotten better, but not by much, and you're stuck. Much like I am. I'm stuck at like 2000 CR. I didn't even make Division 1 this year, but I'm stuck at like 2050, and I've just stayed there within the same 100 points both directions for the entire game, because that's just how it works. I match up with players that are around my skill level. And that would, you know, so whatever division you're in, if you're going to play that many games against the same, roughly same skill like player, allow us to not have to worry about, in Division 1, you got to play all your games before Hut Champs, and you have to win a majority to get ultimate, right? Like, allow us to just, you know, if you're good at the game, reward them for that, and, you know, 35 wins, and if you do 35 wins consistently, you're going to move up divisions. So it's not like it's going to be easy the whole time. Like, if you dropped all the way down and try to do it, 35 wins would probably get you enough in a week to move up a division, right? So,
right.
I think that would be, and same thing with squad battles, get rid of the randomness. It makes no sense to me that an offline game mode, a game mode that you play the CPU, you are ranked against players online. It's just ass backwards to me. Like, you know, and what's funny is there's a top 100 in squad battles. There isn't a top 100 in rivals for the week. Like, it's just so silly. There, you know, there's a leaderboard for squad battles.
Right.
But not right. Like, you know, it's just absurd.
And the leaderboard just makes no sense.
Yeah. Like, it just blows me away. Like, I've gone on tangents about squad battles. I think it should be like franchise mode. And that's a whole other like thing. But, you know, stop with the, you know, if you max out against every player that you get, give them the top reward. And maybe not 100K and whatever number one is, but like a top 100. Like, because that guarantees you top 100, right? Like, so like, just give them a top 100 reward for doing that. That's an exceptional feat, not just because it's not very difficult for a good player to get 5+ goals. And God, I wish that was different, but you know, just that needs to change. I 100%.
There's just so many like weird little benchmarks in this game that are like kind of hidden, like you said, like the 5 goals and like 20 shots.
We never know.
Like, Joe Blow would never know that.
Nope.
You know what I mean? Like, my friend, that if I had seen my friend this game, they'd be like, wait, what? Like, why? Okay, I played all my games. Why didn't I get max points?
Mm-hmm. And if they did, it's like, why am I not top 100? Like,
there's just so many, I don't know, there's just so many little, like, unwritten things that have been that way just because they've always been that way. And I don't think that's, like, always the best way to, like, do things. Like, well, it's just always been that way, so we just got to keep doing it that way.
That's it. And it's funny because people don't like change. They don't, because you see that a lot. When they make changes, everyone's like, dude, what? Like, this is awful. But then they say everything's the same. So, but yeah, like that needs to be fixed. I'll say this, my last one that I can think of today in this one. SHL is one of the best modes in sports games, and it's easily the most played mode in NHL, more than the Hut. Allow us to play with our homies in Hut, whatever mode. And it's funny because, like, now you're at an advantage. It's like, no, you're not. I remember when I used to match up in Versus or in whatever, and you see that it's two players, you're like, yo, this is easy money. Easy money. It's harder because your AI don't do what you're thinking, right? Like, allow us to do champs, to do rivals with as many players up to six as we want.
Especially now that GWC's not even in the game.
Exactly.
So we can't even say, like, well, then it messes with the competitive play, like the small minority
of
competitive. It's like, there's nothing now. So.
And allow us to not match. You could literally put in a thing where it's like, don't match or match a lobby size. Or like 1v1, right? Like, don't allow multiple. You could do that. And maybe the search is long, but I guarantee you more EASHL players will play because they could earn rewards. And that's the other thing. Allow all of this stuff that they're doing to work. That's what would have saved Hut Rush, in my opinion. I thought they would have done that in Hut Rush.
Everything you're saying, and I'm not trying to be like a hater here, it's just all this has been in the game.
Yeah, like,
when we were in high school, this was in the game. Mm-hmm. I can't sit here and say, like, well, this can't be done. It's never been done before. Like, I understand. It's different console. Like, we have, theoretically, the most powerful consoles ever. Yeah. That's what they say. You know, so it's like everything is bigger and better now. So how can we not get things from the old games into the new games? And it's that evolution that, for whatever reason, it seems like when you jump consoles and it's just like we strip things back and then we put things back on. It's just, I don't know. I just really wish, and it could probably be sports games in general. The whole problem is I only play like two sports games. So I'm excited to play NCAA football and compare it to the NCAA football I used to play back on the.
Are you gonna play offline or online?
I don't know. I'll probably play all. Honestly,
I'm excited for the dynasty.
I'm just gonna
mode.
Dabble around with. Maybe I'll make a league with you guys. Maybe we'll do something. I don't know. I mean, I think it'd be something just to play around with a bunch of different things. You know,
I have no interest in playing online. It's which is so refreshing because I think that's the majority of the player base.
Like, I think we should do an online dynasty league.
I think it'd be fun. Yeah,
like a franchise. Like, we all just pick a good team or something, and we could pick like a conference. Maybe we just do like the big 10 and a something like that. But no, I think I'm excited. It's just something like that'll get us hopefully to NHL.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is to me. And it's funny because like MLB, I was so excited about this year. I really got off to a bad start in MLB because I was gone for the GBC, which really took the wind out of my sails. And in April and May, I was obsessed with MLB, and it was like the 3-month carrot chase where it's like from 89 overalls all the way to 99, and it was like that was great. But then the second they went back to 88s, I knew that the competitive player base would hate it because they got to grind all over again. I started to see on Reddit, like MLB Reddit, that like the casual players like, man, this is great. I don't have to worry about, you know.
That's me.
Yeah, like same. Like I have half a million stubs.
I like try to get World Series, like, and I usually do get it, but it's, and like it's like I'm like I like playing the game, but I love the fact that like I don't have to get on like every thing every single day, and like I haven't played in like the last 6 days,
mm-hmm.
and I'll play this weekend.
And it'd be the same. Like
I'm missing out a ton, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, man. No, I agree. So that was good. That was a good start. I think that I'd like to see what people say in the comment section. Comment on the things, for all the viewers, comment on the things that we talked about a little bit. I'd love to hear your thoughts on our ideas so that we kind of calibrate and see if we're like in tune with the other player, with the rest of the player base. But also give us your ideas, and we'll read some of them because our summer episodes are obviously going to be a little weak, especially these next few. Because you guys hate letting us talk about real hockey, and even if we wanted to, we're in the dark days of somewhere where Elliot and Sarah Valley go on vacation. So, kind of lost there. But yeah, we basically have this kind of dead period before we start hearing about NHL 25. So, hopefully that'll be soon. But episode 99, our Wayne Gretzky episode, episode 100 next time. Love that for us. But that's gonna do it for us this episode, guys. We'll see you next week. Have a good one.